Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Lauren Gaches from NOAA. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Chelsea, and good morning, everyone. I'm Lauren Gaches with NOAA Communications. Today, you'll hear from Dr. Louis Uccellini, Director of the National Weather Service, and Dr. Jerry Bell, Lead Seasonal Hurricane Forecaster at NOAA's Climate Prediction Center. Together, they will deliver NOAA's updated 2020 Atlantic hurricane season outlook. Dr. Bell and his team issue the initial preseason outlook in May, and they update the outlook every year in early August as the peak months of the season get underway. A news release with infographics will be posted, if it's not already there, momentarily on NOAA.gov. And following today's remarks, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions about the outlook. If at the conclusion of today's call you have additional questions or questions on other topics, please contact me at lauren.gaches@noaa.gov, which also appears on the media advisory. With that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Uccellini. Louis, are you there?
Yeah, okay, now I am.
All right, ahead.
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren, and thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. As we sit here today, the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season has already been a record breaker. So far this year, there have been 9 named storms between May and July, and we've already seen the earliest eye storm, Isaias, on record. This breaks the previous record for the earliest 9th storm of the season, and the first time we've had 9 named storms by the end of July. To give you an idea of the unusual nature of this year's outlook, we often announce this mid-season hurricane update by a news release. But as we head into the peak months of the season, we are holding this media briefing as well because the data and the updated predictions point to this season shaping up to be one of the more active seasons on record. NOAA's initial hurricane outlook issued in May indicated a 60% chance of an above normal season. As you'll see, the chance for an above normal season has now been increased to 85%. And there is also a much higher potential for this season to be classified as a extremely active season. So, and this would be the third active season since 2005. In a moment, Dr. Bell will elaborate further on the science behind this outlook and provide the new predicted numbers, but I first want to talk about hurricane safety and preparedness in light of this news. Each year when NOAA delivers its Atlantic hurricane outlooks, we work with our partners at FEMA and across the intergovernmental emergency management communities to stress and reinforce the importance of planning for a landfalling storm. Already this year in the continental U.S. Has been struck by 3 tropical storms and 2 hurricanes. We are now entering the peak months of the Atlantic hurricane season, August through October, when historically about 95% of all Atlantic hurricanes and major hurricanes form. Given the activity we have seen so far this season, coupled with the ongoing challenges that communities face in light of COVID-19, now is the time to organize your family plans and make necessary preparations. And please take the time to visit ready.gov/hurricanes and other FEMA resources to develop checklists, identify your local shelters, and ensure your plans are in place now should you need to evacuate. With that, I will turn it over to Dr. Jerry Bell to discuss the updated outlook and the science behind the outlook. Jerry?
Thank you, Louis. The Atlantic hurricane season officially runs from June through November. And as Louis mentioned, we've already had 9 named storms this season. Our updated outlook that I'll mention in just a minute includes these 9 storms, 7 of which were tropical storms and 2 were hurricanes. So now the updated outlook. As Louis mentioned, current and predicted oceanic and atmospheric conditions now indicate a higher likelihood, an 85% chance of an above normal season. The outlook now calls for even more activity than we had predicted in May. Also, there is now an even higher potential for the season to be extremely active. Now, unfortunately, by contrast, a below normal season is now very unlikely with only a 5% chance, and the chance of a near normal season is only 10%. For the entire hurricane season, we are now predicting the following likely ranges of activity. These ranges are 19 to 25 named storms, of which 7 to 11 are expected to become hurricanes, and 3 to 6 of those could become major hurricanes. Now, remember that these ranges include the 9 named storms we've already seen this year. I want to stress that this outlook is a general guide to the overall seasonal activity. It does not predict landfalling storms. And this is because whether or not a storm strikes land is determined by the weather patterns that are in place as the storm approaches. And those weather patterns just really are not predictable until about 5 to 7 days in advance, let alone months in advance. So turning now to the science behind the updated outlook, NOAA's hurricane outlooks have a firm scientific foundation. It includes rigorous analysis of how oceanic and atmospheric conditions are set up to influence storm development, and also of how these conditions are likely to evolve through the season. So we're increasing the predicted activity for a number of reasons. First and foremost, oceanic and atmospheric conditions are now even more hospitable for hurricane formation and intensification. These conditions are predicted to continue for the next several months. Also, weather and climate models are all now indicating an even higher potential for an extremely active season. And finally, due to the record early season activity, the predicted number of named storms for the entire season is now much higher than the 13 to 19 storms we had predicted in May. The oceanic and atmospheric conditions that now favor an even stronger hurricane season include ongoing warmer than average sea surface temperatures in the tropical Atlantic Ocean and Caribbean Sea, and an enhanced West African monsoon. Accompanying these conditions are reduced vertical wind shear, weaker Atlantic trade winds, lower air pressure, and wind patterns coming off of Africa that more easily spin up storms. These conditions are all typical of an above normal and extremely active season. A main climate factor behind these conditions is the ongoing warm phase of what's called the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation, or AMO. This pattern reappeared in 1995 and has been producing more active hurricane seasons since that time. Another climate factor this year is the potential development of La Nina. Already we're seeing some La Nina-like atmospheric conditions. La Nina reflects cooler than average sea surface temperatures in the equatorial region of the eastern Pacific Ocean. La Nina is important for hurricanes because it acts to weaken the wind shear over the Caribbean Sea and tropical Atlantic Ocean, thereby favoring more and stronger Atlantic storms. This combination of enhancing conditions now in place, coupled with a potential La Nina, sets the stage for an extremely active season. Overall, these enhancing conditions that we're now seeing again this year are consistent with the ongoing high activity era for Atlantic hurricanes that began in 1995. 70% of Atlantic hurricane seasons have been above normal since 1995, and 9 have been extremely active. By contrast, during the preceding 24-year low activity era, which occurred during 1971 to 1994, there were only 2 above-normal seasons in that 24 years, and none were extremely active. In closing, it's important to remember that the hurricane season outlook is not only about the numbers. It's very much about preparedness, as Dr. Ussolini already stated. Regardless of the predicted activity, We all know that it only takes one storm to have catastrophic impacts on lives and communities. We've already had 5 U.S. landfalling storms this season, and we certainly expect a number of hurricanes to threaten the U.S. in the coming months. This expectation is especially pertinent this year because extremely active seasons tend to have far more landfalling hurricanes than major hurricanes. And this is true not only for the United States, but also for Mexico and the entire region around the Caribbean Sea. So please help us share and spread the message that, coastal and inland residents need to get ready now before more storms threaten, as they most certainly will. Everyone should know their risk, have a plan, and be prepared. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Before we move into the Q&A portion of today's teleconference, I wanted to quickly turn it back over to Dr. Uccellini.
Thank you, Lauren. For reporters who have closely followed these hurricane outlooks for many years, we wanted to share that this will be Dr. Jerry Bell's last hurricane outlook as he looks forward to retiring at the end of the year. I've known Jerry a long time. We both knew each other as young Turks in the research world, and he has served the Climate Prediction Center since 1990, a full 30 years. And his extensive research into the climate factors controlling seasonal hurricane activity contributed to the establishment of the NOAA Seasonal Hurricane Outlook in 1998. Now, Matthew Rosenkranz, Dr. Bell's colleague from the Climate Prediction Center at the National Weather Service, has been named as the new lead seasonal hurricane forecaster and will transition into the role in 2021. We are deeply grateful to Jerry for his years of dedication to providing these valuable NOAA outlooks, and collectively we congratulate him on his next chapter in his retirement years. So all the best, Jerry.
Thank you, Louie.
Thanks, Louie. With that, operator, if you would, please let our reporters know how to get into the queue to ask their questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly when prompted. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star two. Our first question comes from Seth Borenstein from Associated Press. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you, and congratulations, Jerry. We'll miss you. And Jerry, if you had, you've had so many of these seasons, how would you expect overall this compared to some of the busiest seasons like 2005, even 2010 when we had 19 and nothing really hit much the U.S. much? I mean, what overall, how would you describe overall how active this is likely to be? Is this going to break records? And it sounds like you're going to go into Greek letters too, right?
This is Jerry Bell. Overall, it looks like this season could be one of the more active in the historical record. We're not predicting it. If you look at it in terms of named storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes altogether, we don't think this is going to be the most active on record. That was 2005. But as I said, and 2005 had 28 named storms. We're not expecting that number. We're predicting 19 to 25 right now. But regardless, we do expect this to be one of the stronger seasons in the historical record.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ryan Sullivan from Bloomberg News. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Jerry, I'd also like to say thanks for everything you've done over the years. Two quick questions here. One is, what's the definition of an extremely active season? What numbers do you have to reach? And then the second thing is, we've already had a record start here. Is there a larger theme that can be teased out of all of this? I know the oceans have been pretty warm, in some cases record warm, going all the way back to January. So is there a larger theme that kind of is also pushing this year into its extreme levels?
Okay, we classify extremely active seasons based on what's called our Accumulated Cyclone Energy Index, or ACE Index. X-Index is a very useful measure of overall activity because it looks at the combined intensity and duration of all the storms during the season. I didn't mention ACE Index in the presentation, but our predicted ACE Index is for this year is 140 to 230. It's centered at 185. The lower threshold for an extremely active season is 165. So our predicted ACE range is centered above our lower threshold for an extremely active season. That's why an extremely active season is much more likely now. The other question is the record start to the season. Is there a theme there? We're going to have to look at that once the season ends, and we can look at it from more of a historical perspective. Typically, I mean, I know it's record early season activity, and we'll certainly be looking at that, but typically the early season activity is not a reflection of what's going to happen during the peak months of the season. And that's because, as we saw this year, most of the storms that developed formed from middle-latitude weather systems, frontal boundaries, troughs in the jet stream, and that is just not how the storms form during these peak months of the season. Once we get into August, September, October, the storms form nearly all of them from tropical disturbances coming off of Africa. So that's a completely different formation mechanism than we typically see during June and July and that we saw this year.
The next question comes from Marcy Shatesman from Boca Voice. Your line is now open.
Boca was on a hurricane watch for Isaias, and then the storm moved away from us and caused major damage in New York and the far northern suburbs of Philadelphia. How did that happen?
This is Jerry. I'm not sure I understand the question exactly. Isaias was predicted to approach the Florida coast. It fortunately for Florida, the core of the storm did stay off the coast and then made landfall up into North Carolina and then headed toward the northeast. And this is what we see a lot of times with these more active seasons. Before these storms start to recurve off or curve to the north, they move further westward. And that's one of the reasons why there's an increased threat to the U.S. during these more active seasons, because these storms tend to track further westward, and more storms threaten both the Gulf Coast and the Atlantic Coast. So that's how it happened.
Thank you very much.
Sure, but I wanted to add a point that it highlights the importance of not just hurricanes, but tropical storms in terms of preparedness. As we saw with these Isaias, slow-moving or long track over land of tropical storms can produce tremendous damage, heavy rainfall and flooding over extended periods, and they put oftentimes millions of people potentially at risk. That's why it's so important that everybody make sure you're prepared now for the coming peak months of the hurricane season.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly when prompted. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star 2. The next question comes from Mark Schlefstein from the New Orleans Advocate. Your line is now open.
Jerry, Mark Schlefstein, let me add to those wishing you a welcome retirement from having to deal with us. My question has to do with climate change, global warming. Can you talk a little bit about what the potential climate signals are that are included in this forecast, if any, beyond the AMO?
There's two main factors this year, and by main, I mean dominant. That we have very conducive conditions, and the underlying climate factor for that is the Atlantic multi-decadal oscillation. The reason that pattern is so important is that it produces a stronger West African monsoon. That, in turn, sets up an entire set of interrelated atmospheric patterns, wind patterns, weaker shear, weaker trade winds, more conducive winds from Africa that predispose the season to essentially be above normal. The other climate factor this year is potential La Nina. And as I mentioned, when you've got this combination of La Nina and warm phase of the AMO, that really sets you up for an above normal and potentially extremely active season. Now, it's too early to say whether climate change may have been a contributing factor to these conditions. Once the season ends, we'll study it within the context of the overall climate record. I suspect the computer models will also be used to assess the role of global warming, if any, on the actual conditions that we have seen that led to these storms. But there's another overall issue in whether or not global warming is a factor with this year. Another very important issue related to hurricanes and global warming is hurricane impacts, and especially rising ocean temperatures. Warmer ocean temperatures mean higher ocean levels. This translates into more extensive ocean inundation and bigger storm surges when hurricanes approach. And this issue becomes even more critical because so many more millions of people are now living along the coast, of both coasts, the entire Atlantic coast, which means that millions of people are often potentially impacted every time a hurricane threatens. So there's things we can do now with the warming sea levels to help mitigate our risk, and that the biggest thing to do is make sure you're prepared now.
Rainfall, is there anything in terms of climate that is increasing the rainfall from these events?
There's been a few studies that suggest that rainfall, that global warming could be increasing rainfall in these biggest storms by a few percent. So that would mean like Hurricane Harvey that hit Texas a few years ago produced like 50 inches of rain or so, maybe a couple inches, the studies are showing, could be attributed to global warming. There's another potential impact that recent studies are indicating is that it could be leading globally to more of the strongest storms, the categories 4 and 5 major hurricanes. But that study also is careful to point out that for the Atlantic, because these other climate factors so dominate the historical record, that any global warming signal could just be smeared out still by these factors.
Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Phillips from weatherboy.com. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Bell, thank you so much for your lifetime of service. My question is for Dr. Uccellini. I wanted your thoughts on disaster fatigue. So we've seen a large part of the U.S. coast covered by tropical cyclone advisories, the Gulf, East Coast, and even Hawaii. With the prospect of additional threats, how concerned are you about disaster fatigue, and what is the National Weather Service doing to break through that and communicate and get people to react to weather threats?
So thank you for your question. Yes, that can become an issue in terms of the repetitiveness of these storm systems, especially if they affect the same areas, you know, storm after storm. I mean, the main aspect of our communication strategy is to be, ready and responsive, and we work with our emergency management community at all government levels, as they prepare a community, message the threat, and actually make decisions with respect to evacuations, for example. And we have learned that we have to be consistent in our messaging, and we have to bring forward the nature of the threats, which are different from storm to storm, and just keep on working that message. It's really important for us to ensure that communities don't let their guards down. So it's a whole effort, not only within the Weather Service and within the Weather Enterprise, because we work with the private sector folks as well along these same lines, but really the whole decision process. And it really is to get that consistent message out, make it as effective as possible, and to ensure that the communities do not let their guard down, no matter how many storms we have to deal with.
The next question is from Joseph Treister from the New York Times. Your line is now open.
Hi, Jerry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Good. Hi. How are you? And good luck in retirement.
Well, thank you.
I wonder if you could look at that global warming issue again. I think I hear you saying that we have specific developments that are going to be dominant for this season, but we have a warmer ocean. Is there any way you could is global warming I'd like to just connect global warming or not connect it with this active season. Do you see global warming, what's in front of you now, having a significant impact on this season or any impact, or is that something you have to study later?
Well, as I said, it's too early to say, and we'll have to study that later. But it's global warming impacts on hurricanes is more than just warmer water. But I'm not trying to minimize global warming at all. Obviously, warmer oceans lead to higher sea levels, changing ecosystems. It's a major, major issue facing our time. But for the very narrow question of hurricane intensity, there's more involved than just warmer waters. Warmer waters alone don't make stronger hurricanes. Instead, it's a whole set of atmospheric conditions that determine whether these seasons are going to be active or less active. Warmer water is a factor, but it's those atmospheric conditions that are critical. And, in fact, the conditions that we're seeing during the peak months of the season since 95, this high activity era, are not what the models predict that global warming would do. They're opposite. Weaker wind shear is opposite to what the model suggests global warming would do.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Again, it's not a simple question. I'm not trying to minimize it in any way, but we want to understand global warming, but we also want to make sure we understand and predict all of the climate factors that influence the hurricane activity. And in addition, we're actively involved with trying to understand how these factors may work in future global warming scenarios. So the writing is not on the wall on any of this. There's still a lot of work to go and research to be done, and NOAA is actively involved with its partners in all of these aspects of hurricanes and the various climate factors that could influence them.
So the big overwhelming influencing factor for the greater activity this season is the atmospheric conditions, which you're seeing this year, you didn't see last year. Can put that in context, or you did say, I missed the date when you said we've been having stronger hurricanes since X year. Is this a continuation of that, or is that a particularly strong atmospheric condition combination?
No, it's the underlying climate pattern is this warm phase of the AMO. That pattern, we've seen it before. We saw it in the 1950s and 60s. Produced that was another Atlantic high activity era. The Atlantic Ocean temperatures and West African monsoon weakened during the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. That was a low activity era. We switched back to the warmer phase of the AMO, stronger West African monsoon in 1995. And so overall conditions we're seeing now are essentially the same as we saw back in 1995. That's how this climate pattern works. It historically lasts anywhere from 25 to 40 years. For instance, we had high activity era back in 1880 to 1900. Then we had less activity from 1900 to about 1930. Then more activity in the 50s and 60s, and now again since 95. So it's a repeating climate pattern, and if you look at the historical record of Atlantic hurricanes, it's this multi-decadal variability. This pattern lasts for decades at a time, multiple decades. It's this multi-decadal variability that dominates the hurricane record, not a trend. Instead, it's this climate signal that really is pervasive, and we're still seeing it. So basically, we're not seeing an end to this current high activity era. We've been now 26 years into it. We don't know how long it's going to last. But certainly this year, there's no indication that it's going to end this year.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly when prompted. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star two. The next question comes from Ryan Sullivan from Bloomberg News. Your line is now open.
Thanks. I just had a quick follow-up question. I keep hearing from members of the public and whatnot that, you know, you guys, this early part of the season has been so active because the Hurricane Center is naming storms they wouldn't normally name. Could you comment on that?
Well, that's a good point. It turns out that since about the year 2000, we've been seeing on average about two to three more storms named early in the year. And these are usually, as we've seen this year, many of them are weak, short-lived storms, less than a couple of days or so. And prior to about 2000, we just weren't able to see these storms as well. That's how the technologies and modeling that we have, we can just see more of these storms better, especially some of those that remain well out in the ocean. But that doesn't explain the record activity by any means. We had a lot of storms spin up, but certainly we are seeing more early season storms now just because of better observing techniques and things like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is Louis Uccellini, Director of the Weather Service. I want to double down on Jerry's last statement there. We certainly are bringing better observing assets, like the GOES-16 as an example. And with the models and the analysis techniques, we're able to lock in on some of these systems. I also want to point out that there is an increasing requirement and need to start addressing these potential storms before they actually form, because our model forecasts are getting better at pointing to those systems that have the greatest potential to develop into a named storm. But we have not changed the criteria for actually naming the storm. So I want to emphasize that. We just have better ways of identifying them earlier in the process. Thank you.
The next question is from Kim Miller from Palm Beach Post. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. So I was just wondering if you could put these numbers in perspective as far as when was the last time you forecast up to 25 named storms?
Sure. This is Jerry Bell. We've never forecast up to 25 named storms. So this is the first time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is from Joan Gralla from Newsday. Your line is now open.
Hi there. How propitious. What is the highest you forecast in terms of the 25 this year, the lowest from that, if you please? And Dr. Bell, please let me salute your wonderful service and ask, if I may, would you live on the coast?
Well, thank you. I do live near the coast, but I'm prepared for every hurricane season, just as we recommend that all coastal and inland residents do, because hurricanes, we know, are not just a coastal event, but it can impact millions and millions of people inland, especially with inland flooding. But I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Oh, forgive me. The question preceding mine, this is the first time you've forecast 25. What was the maximum forecast previously?
Previous, the maximum was 21, and we had predicted that, I know, in 2005. And that 21 at that time, 21 was the highest we'd ever seen. So we predicted up to the record amount, but we indicated that the number of storms could be higher than that. But we didn't have the models and the tools that we have now that have developed over the last 20 years, 15 years, to make a higher prediction at that time.
Forgive me. I just wanted to confirm. 21 in 2005 was the previous maxima.
Yes.
Okay. I'm so glad I got you to laugh. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jenny Stiletovich from WLRN Public Radio, Miami. Your line is now open.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me, Dr. Bell?
Yes, I can.
Great, great. Well, congratulations on your retirement. You'll certainly be missed.
Thank you.
That you could talk a little bit about how you determine which will be major hurricanes, hurricanes, and named storms, how you sort of divide that up. And then sort of the second part to the question, although you've already touched on this, is of the four sort of main ingredients, the monsoon season, the shear, the warm sea surface temperatures, and the La Nina, is there one that sort of dominates this year and is pushing this into that extreme territory?
Okay, let me hit the classifications for hurricanes first. It's called the Saffir-Simpson Hurricane Scale, and that's been in use for decades now, and it allows you to classify the hurricanes basically based on their strength. So a hurricane would have 74 or stronger mile per hour maximum sustained surface winds. Major hurricanes would be 111 miles an hour or stronger. So that's the distinction between hurricanes and major hurricanes is based entirely on their wind speed.
Can you just explain how you come up with the numbers for those, though? Like, you know, why is it just the 25 named storms but 3 to 6 major hurricanes of those?
Sure. We have a whole suite of statistical tools, model tools, statistical, dynamical-based, and also pure dynamical computer models that we use to predict not only the conditions during the season, but also these varying strengths and numbers of the storms. So this year, and we also look back historically and say, well, for the conditions that we're looking at this year, what have we seen in the past? And that information can be very valuable, and is. It's certainly one of the main tools that we use. It's called analog technique to help come up with these seasonal numbers. So it's a pretty sophisticated process. We don't just come up with these numbers overnight, for sure.
Okay. And then of the ingredients, is there one that dominates?
This combination of warmer Atlantic temperatures and the stronger West African monsoons, that's linked to a specific climate pattern, the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation. That climate pattern produces an entire set of winds that make hurricanes much more easy to develop. Those conditions include the weaker wind shear, the weaker trade winds, the more favorable winds coming off of Africa. So all of that, all those conditions are really part and parcel of the same thing. That pattern sets you up for an above-normal season. In addition, this year we have the potential La Nina that could further weaken the wind shear and make it conditions more favorable over a much bigger area. So that's why we're looking at the potential for an extremely active season, because we've got two climate factors coming together that produce very conducive wind patterns over an extended region. So I don't want to pick one out or the other, because that's not how it is. It's rather, it's this combination sets you up for an extremely active season. They're reinforcing conditions, in effect.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
The next question is from James Whelan from NBC News Station, West Palm Beach. Your line is now open.
Hi, Jerry. Congratulations on retirement.
Oh, thank you, James.
I'm a little jealous. My question is, you mentioned about 2005. So what is this season lacking that 2005 had that we had 28 storms?
Well, right now, 2005, the Atlantic Ocean temperatures were even warmer than they are now, and the overall conditions, wind patterns in that were even more favorable. I mean, 2005, it was just unbelievable how favorable the conditions were. We're not expecting them to be that favorable. Also, by this time in 2005, we had already had two major hurricanes. That highlights how early these very favorable conditions set up. So, we're seeing very conducive conditions, we're not seeing them at the level that we saw during 2005.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Joseph Treister from New York Times. Your line is now open.
Hi, Jerry. Checking on this issue of predicting 25 or forecasting 25 storms, and in contrast to the actual 28 that we had in 2005, is that accurate, what I just said?
Yeah, our predicted range this year is 19 to 25 named storms.
Yeah.
We saw 28 in 2005.
Okay, so you are predicting a higher number than you ever predicted or forecasted, excuse the word.
Correct.
But actually, the number that we experienced in 2005 was greater than what you're anticipating for this year. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. One other clarification. You talked about better tools and better models than in the past. Can you please, the question is, are these better tools and models the reason we have a forecast of 25, or is it the conditions? Can you parse those? Could it be just that if you had these same tools, you might have had 25 a few years earlier? Or do we have conditions that are clearly stronger than we usually see, and the tools are helping you see that?
We have very conducive atmospheric and oceanic conditions. We've seen these conditions before. We've seen them during very active seasons. And as I mentioned earlier, we're expecting this could be one of the more active seasons in the record. So we've seen this level of conditions before. So that's not new. One of the issues where the models come in is helping to predict whether these conditions will last through the upcoming peak months of the hurricane season. Mm-hmm. And also then where the models come in is to help us turn those conditions into likely activity that we might expect. Now, just for example, we didn't even have climate models to help us with these predictions before 2008. So when we made our forecast back in 2005, it was only statistical tools that we had. So this is a whole different ball game that we're dealing with now as far as trying to get these likely ranges of activity nailed down, and also to nail down our confidence in these predictions themselves.
So the main benefit of the new tools is what?
They help us predict the conditions, and they help us predict the numbers of storms. And that's what the Hurricane Outlook's about.
Okay.
They're crucial. They're absolutely crucial. We saw, as soon as we got these models in place, we saw a huge uptick in our skill of these hurricane season outlooks.
Do you think, with all your expertise, looking back at 2005, if you had these same tools back then, might your forecast have been in the 25 to 28 range?
I couldn't possibly say. That would be purely speculative. I can't speculate on that.
Okay. I'm just trying to, as you can see, parse the difference between 2005 and this record forecast. See if we're really looking at a more severe set of weather conditions, or whether it's growing out of better forecasting tools.
Okay. 2005, as I had mentioned, the atmospheric and oceanic conditions in 2005 were even more hurricane-like than they are now. 2005 was more conducive to more hurricanes than what we're seeing now. That's why we're not predicting a record hurricane season at this time. We've seen more conducive conditions. 2005 is one of those years.
Right, right. Okay, so you forecast for 25, but you are not expecting to go over 28.
No. Our forecast is when we indicate the likely ranges of activity, we indicate them with a 70% probability of occurrence.
Yeah.
Those are called the likely ranges. So with
right.
a 70% likelihood, we expect 19 to 25 named storms. There could be more,
right.
but this is the likely range of activity. So this is
right.
what this is what we likely expect. Is it exclude 28? No, of course not. But that
yeah.
remains to be seen.
I think that maybe we could end up my range of questions here, sorry, by saying this looks like it's going to be a very active year, but not likely to be worse than 2005.
That's fair, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, sir.
I think we do have other questions in the queue. I want to make sure we get a chance to let everybody ask their questions today.
The next question is from John Boyer from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Your line is now open.
All right, thanks so much. And Dr. Bell, again, thanks for sharing your expertise and wish you the best in retirement. One of the things that I'm thinking back to from 2005 was the activity continuing late into December and January. Did that or any of the tools we have right now tell us anything about a lengthening of the active part of the hurricane season later than we might typically expect this year?
No, they don't. They make predictions for the overall seasonal activity. And once you start getting into November or later, there's not really much information there because a storm after November is very, very rare. But what we just in more general, when you have more favorable conditions like we have now, you tend to have more activity earlier in the season and also later in the season. So it's certainly reasonable to expect we're going to see some activity during November. But how long if that lasts beyond November, I can't possibly say.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Chelsea, so much. This is Lauren again. With that, I believe we will conclude our press briefing today. You can find our news release about today's announcement on NOAA.gov. If you have additional questions or there's additional information available for you there, you're also welcome to contact me directly at 301-683-1327. I thank all of our media partners for joining us today.
This concludes today's conference. All participants may disconnect at this time.